Live from the J.C. Newman Cigar Studios in the great state of New Hampshire and the Gurkha Cigar Studios in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome to the Smokin' Tobacco Show with your hosts, Matt Tobacco and Kevin Acuff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Smokin' Tobacco Show. My name is Matt Tobacco from SmokinTobacco.com. I'm joined once again by my colleague and friend, Mr. Kevin Acuff from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hello, everybody.
It's kind of an exciting show, because you know, we have Scott Pierce who will join us in a minute from the Premium Cigar Association. We're only a few weeks away from the PCA trade show. So I know a lot of people, you know, are aware of that and kind of what that entails, and, you know, it's going to be very exciting. But before we get to that, you never want to start off a show on a lower note, but at the same time, you know, you have to you have to recognize people sometimes. And unfortunately, the cigar industry suffered a loss today. Brad Reith passed away from Zeal Cigars. He was involved in a motorcycle accident. For those who might not know, he passed away. He was on his motorcycle, and from what I understand, someone had hit him in a car and pretty bad, and threw him off the bike, and he had succumbed to his injuries. I don't know why I struggled saying that. Injuries and passed away. Very shocking, very sad. I think it happened sometime this afternoon. I'm not 100% sure exactly when, but that is when I started seeing, you know, kind of everyone post about it. I didn't know Brad personally. I think I had met him before, you know, but I knew who he was, and you know, he did a lot of cool stuff, and I remember, you know, I've just seen his stuff from time to time, but like I said, I didn't know him personally, but at the same time, you know, I know he was a nice guy. I know a lot of people loved him. You know, he was part of this community, so it's very sad. Very sad to hear, and I wanted to make sure we started off our show tonight by remembering him and recognizing him, because that's just quite the thing to take in.
To Brad.
Yeah, to Brad. I don't have a drink with me.
We'll miss you, my brother.
But yeah, to Brad, this one's for you, buddy. It's horrible. Thinking about his friends and family and everyone that was really close to him too, you know. Thoughts and prayers with them and wishing them the best in this time. I know it's not easy, so you know, just remember Brad tonight. You know, and for those of you who might not know, you know, that just happened today, so really scary. But anyway,
hug your loved ones, people, because you never know.
It's true. Look at Kevin. Kevin's a cancer survivor. You know, we almost lost him. Thank God we didn't. I need someone to bitch and complain to.
I'm too mean and rotten. You ain't getting rid of me that easy.
I know. It's okay. You know, they say all the good ones die young, you know. So what does that make you? You survived. I don't know.
Man, I'm going to live forever.
I'm just kidding. But you know, on a serious note, yeah, I wanted to make sure we brought that up, but, you know, the same, let's try to have a good show. Let's try to have a good time. You know, it's probably what Brad would have wanted to, you know? Yeah, like I said, we have Scott. I'll bring him on in a second. Very excited. You know, the 2024 Premium Cigar Association trade show and convention begins on March 23rd, I believe is the day of the first show, the trade show, day. And from Las Vegas, last year in Las Vegas for a couple of years. So Kevin, that means you're actually gonna have to travel for the trade show now. Very exciting. We have some other things we're gonna talk to him about. So let me bring him on here. I don't want to keep him waiting too long. Let's bring his face on here. There he is. There's Scott Pierce, handsome gentleman that you guys all know and love.
How you doing,
How's
Scott?
How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah, I was
going...
giving you a little bit of crap because you pulled down. I need to change that Facebook picture of mine. I look like I'm part of some sort of like accounting society with that picture. I have a much better picture now, or got a cigar or smoke coming out of my face, It looks, you know, like a real one. So when you pulled that one, I was like, oh, I just need to change that Facebook photo.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what on file. And I was like, oh, I didn't think of it. And then you messaged me. I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't know there was a new one.
So what, PCA doesn't stand for Pro Cigar Accounting?
No, it doesn't stand. Yeah, no, nothing. No, nothing about accounting. Yeah. Peanut cluster accounting, whatever it takes. What I don't know, you know.
Hi, my name is Scott. Do you have a moment to talk about accounting today? Like an H&R.
You're throwing me back to my missionary days. If I didn't have the beard and I just had that looking on there, I look like it. I had a little name tag and asking you to share a message with you. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we just got started and Scott's already a couple seconds from going, click, bye, guys.
Oh, I mean, not even close.
I mean, it also looks like it could be like your H&R Block, like company photo, or you're like your tax specialist, Scott Pierce.
I was literally just watching the South Park episode about realtors, and I was like, oh, my God, that's my realtor photo.
I can see that, too. I mean, yeah. It's a good photo. You know, you look young, you look happy, you look honest.
Because I'm much younger in that photo and thinner, too. So I guess keep it while it works, right?
I think we all look thinner in our profile pictures. Mine's from like 3 years ago when I was in Miami. I'm trying to think. Yeah, the one that I have, I was probably 30 pounds lighter.
My beard was a little darker.
But you got a new kid. You got a great excuse.
I know. I know. It's all bought and paid for.
I mean, you see, you know, 6 months ago, my beard was dark. So you see what dealing with Matt does to my hair.
Yeah. So that photo is proof I actually did not have hair when I first started this job. So I've gotten a lot grayer, as my kids love to point out, about how white my beard is getting. I just said that's how much wiser I'm getting, guys.
Scott, did I notice, like, once upon a time, from when you were, like, really young, like maybe in your 20s, did you have kind of like the Fred Durst, like, just like the chin piece back in the day?
Oh, hell yeah. Of course I did.
Yeah.
I had chin. And, yeah, I call that my chin music, you know, a little baseball terminology there. So, yeah, now I just tell people that I'm not bald. I'm just taller than my hair, which I think, you know, most people have heard me say that at this point.
I remember seeing an old photo of you and thinking like, wow, he looks like he could have been like part of one of those bands from like 2001, you know?
And the hair that was all, the hair I did have left was all spiked up. When I was in high school, I had long hair, man. I was, you know, back in like the Metallica days where I had it shaved under here, then it was just really long on top and everything and down to like right here. And so when I graduated high school, my mom and my sisters put together like a nice little scrapbook, right? And so they found a photo of me right after football practice where I'm all sweaty. I hadn't shaved and everything else and stuff. And then I had my long hair and they put that in there because they're like, we want your future kids to be able to see this little mugshot that you have so that when they want to do all the stupid shit that you did, then we've got photographic evidence that they're allowed to do some of that stuff.
Yeah,
I've got to dig some of my high school pictures out because like I had like the big like Def Leppard like permed hair and stuff up top, and then down the back it was actually past my waist. So, I mean, it was insane.
Are you serious? I didn't know that. Wow.
Oh yeah, I had the full on like glam metal hairdo.
That's awesome.
So Scott, how old are you? You were high school what, like in the 90s?
Yeah.
And Kevin, you're like more of an 80s high school.
Yeah, I graduated in the 80s.
Yeah. What a difference, you know?
What did you graduate at? 2015?
2012. 2012, yeah. Just a baby. Not too far away.
Joking. Oh, my God. You are a baby.
Yeah.
He is a baby.
The joke's on you. You weren't that far off.
I actually am literally old enough to be his dad.
Yeah. No, he is.
So am I.
and Coop could be my grandfather. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Younger than me.
I know. Well, I should have said Jose Blanco. Jose Blanco is old enough to be like my grandfather, my great-grandfather. I don't know.
Jose Blanco just needs to be your personal trainer.
I heard Jose Blanco call Jay Davis fat, too. And I said, oh, welcome to the club of like fat shaming by Jose Blanco. He was at Pro Cigar, and he's like, yeah, Jose called me fat. And I was like, join the club.
Cooper just said he heard that. So I do want to have this funny story, and I hope Jay doesn't take it out on me when I see him at the board meeting in a couple of weeks. But he was on a call recently when we were on a board call, and he had shaved. And Jay, it's a stark difference when Jay shaves. But he shaved it. He just had the mustache that was left over. And I was like, what the hell? Who does he remind me of? And then someone sent a text of the BTK killer and said, do we know where Jay is? And he did. With that mustache, he looked like the BTK killer.
Oh, my God.
And I was going to give him shit about it, but then he shaved his mustache. So now I get to do it publicly. So now Jay's going to get me back in some facet, I think.
I love Coop. I heard that. Yeah. No shit. I know he's listening.
Coop, the feedback I got from Pro Cigar is that you were like the celebrity down there. People coming and getting your signature and wanting pictures with you. I just want to know how much you were charging for photos.
Did you see the video of him meeting the president?
Yes. Yeah.
Were you got all excited?
That was cool. That's like an all-time Coop classic right there.
I don't think I've ever seen Coop so happy. I was like, damn, that's probably – I remember watching it, and I kind of laughed because I was like, oh, that's funny. But then I was like, I don't think I've ever seen Coop that happy before. Like, wow, this is quite the day for him. What a night. He goes from, like, being there, which in itself is awesome, meeting the president of the Dominican Republic, which is pretty impressive. And then he gets on a private flight with Michael Herklotz to fly back to Miami or wherever they went to in Florida for the Great Smoke. I mean, that is an eventful, like, 12 hours right there. I mean, good for him, you know.
He's living. And I also get to give Herklotz shit about the private flight then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, they're living their best life, but.
When I thought Herklotz couldn't get any more bougie.
I know. He was with us last week on the show, and we talked about it, and we had our wine. It was quite the show. But
did he call it juice?
Kevin, did he? That's a good question. I don't even know. Did he call it juice at all?
He referred to a certain kind of wine that he said it would taste like grape juice, but I can't remember. He did not refer to what we were drinking as juice.
Not in the general sense.
Before it closed, we had lunch with him, and he busted out a bottle of wine, and we're drinking it. And he goes, it's good juice. That's good juice.
You're smelly. I can see him saying
that. Well, I mean, he called the president of the DR bro, so, I mean, I guess you could call wine juice. That seems to kind of, like, run the gambit of what he would do, right?
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
We love Michael.
We do. We love him to death. But his time was last week. This time it is Scott's turn. So, Scott, you've been on this show several times. Welcome back. It's always great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Most of the time, obviously, yes, we have you on to talk about the trade show. But also, while you're here talking about the trade show, it's also nice to talk about some of the other stuff that the PCA is currently doing. Yep. Last year, we had you on. I think we normally have you on before the show. I think every time you've been on was like before the show, I want to say. So I don't think – I'm trying to remember. I don't know if we talked about no, we couldn't have on the meta ruling from last year, because I think the actual decision came down after the trade show, didn't it? I'm trying to remember.
The vacation, yeah. So the vacating of it. So the previous year we got the ruling, and then the decision to vacate. So two different instances. So yes.
Right. Yeah. So we didn't talk about the vacation on that, which we'll probably get into. And then as well as I know that the FDA has filed an appeal. We'll get into that later in the show. But just as a teaser for those, we're going to talk about that stuff as well. So before we get too comfortable, before we get too into any discussions, let's talk about what we're smoking and what we're cutting and lighting with. And let's start with our good friends at twoguyscigars.com. That's right. The number 2guyscigars.com. That's the place to go. It's the only place to go. Find an amazing selection of cigars and cigar accessories from the cigar industry, featuring all of your favorite brands in one place. The number 2guyscigars.com. Scott, you are joining us as our guest tonight, so why don't you enlighten us with what you're smoking?
All right. I guess I should. A good thing I didn't toss the band, but I am smoking the Patissier from Crowned Heads. It's one of my good go-tos. Actually, normally we'll smoke this earlier in the day. So it's here, right? Very delicious. I like the first, version of this when they released it at the show, but the subsequent ones, this one's got a little bit of a thicker ring gauge on it. Really like the depth of flavor in this cigar. Like I said, I normally smoke heavier ones earlier in the day. But I figured I'd go with this one tonight after chowing down on some pizza here at the office before I jumped on.
Ooh, pizza.
There you go. That'll punch right through the pizza on the palate.
Exactly. Yeah, good old Andy's Pizza. You know, it's been a national winner for pizza, and it's a local one here. In fact, Lisa Cox, who works for us here, runs the trade show. Her husband owns a brewery, and Andy's Pizza first opened up with him in their brewery down by Nat Stadium. And so, good local connection. But yeah, phenomenal pizza. So, yeah.
Nicole made smoked pork belly, so I had that.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
I really don't like both of you right now.
Yeah. So I have a diet right now,
Kevin. What's going on,
Scott? My point being is, I also had a very heavy but fulfilling dinner as well. So I'm very excited to smoke a cigar right now, to say the least.
Yeah. See, Wednesdays for Barb and I is the diet control salad night. So we will have salads after the show.
I was gonna say tonight's salad night at the Acuff household.
Salad doesn't have to include lettuce, right? It could be like, you know, pork belly served with a fried egg on top, with, you know, a sprinkling of bacon, and then just a hamburger patty on top of it. That's a great salad right there.
I did have salad.
I love the way you think, Scott.
I actually did have salad with the pork belly. I had potato salad. I don't know if that counts, but I had
it absolutely
potato
does. Yeah, yeah, I'm a fat kid.
We'll have a little chicken breast with the salad. I mean, yeah, you gotta have some kind of protein, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're having your pre-dinner smoke.
I have my pre-dinner smoke, and see, I'm actually doing a little bit of a pairing. So I have the Liga Provida H99.
Oh, very wow! Nice. Look at you.
And then I am actually pairing that with a private release of barrel bourbon.
That's some interesting stuff too. That first caught my attention like last spring or so, and it's some pretty good stuff too. I haven't drank it as much as I should, but that barrel bourbon's not bad for those who
this
don't
one
know.
Is a this one is a private release for Costco actually, and
Costco.
I mean, it is a very delicious bourbon. I mean, Barrel has been some hit and miss. Their Seagrass or Sea whatever the hell it was called rye from a couple years ago was just absolutely outstanding. It's probably one of the best ryes I've ever had. And I mean, they've been hit and miss, but I mean, this one is it pairs exceptionally well with the cigar. So I'm a happy camper right now.
I have to say. First of all, let me talk about what I'm smoking, and then let me go back. I am smoking a Angel Quest de Toro from J.C. Newman. That's right. Our friends at J.C. Newman, lighting up with them tonight. This cigar is fantastic. This cigar has actually been this is from a box that's just been sitting in the humidor for quite some time. And I must say, these have aged exceptionally well. I remember smoking them when they first came out. And I was like, all right, they're all right. I thought, to be very honest and fair, they tasted a little fresh to me. They didn't, I don't know. They didn't really hit me right. And, you know, I didn't love them, if I'm being perfectly honest. And Kevin, I think you kind of felt the same way when you smoked them. However,
yeah, agreed.
Yeah, however, I grabbed this because I'm like, well, you know, it's been a while. These have been sitting for a while, and they have aged very well. This is a much better cigar, a much different cigar than the first one I smoked over a year ago. So now I'm like, I gotta have to revisit this a few more times because it's. I'm really, really happy with this cigar tonight. my quick
wonder of cigars.
What was that?
That's the beauty and wonder of cigars.
You said it, Scott. Oh. It's true.
Absolutely is. Well, that's why I like to smoke them, you know, right off the truck, right, and then smoke it again in about 3 months, and then at 6 months, and then, you know, at a year, and just see how they change. Some get better, some don't.
That's my problem, is I need discipline to kind of stave off on, because I do tend to smoke more than the average person, you know, to the tune of, you know, 4 to 6 a day. And so I go through a lot of cigars. So oftentimes I don't have the patience because I don't collect, I don't, you know, so it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I need to put these away. Kind of, you know, what Matthew was saying is I want to hide these somewhere. So I forget about them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise I just go through them.
Honestly. Yeah, that does happen. I you put stuff in there and then you put other shit on top of it. And then, you know, you're going through there and you're like, oh, and you're like, I forgot I had these. And you're like, nah, yeah. Let me try one. And then you're like, oh, shit. These actually age pretty good.
You and I have that conversation all the time. It's like Barbara and I will start digging through the collection. It's like, wow, when did I buy these?
It's always a fun surprise. You know, when you like find something, you're like, I didn't even know we had these. But then the flip side of it is like, so last week I couldn't find any of my Ferio Tegos. I'm like, I know I have them. And, you know, I looked for like 20 minutes. I'm like, this is annoying. But I ended up going with that old Nat Sherman Timeless, which ended up being phenomenal because it had so much age on it. But, of course, sure as shit, I get Scott connected. I get set up. I said, hey, I just got to go grab a cigar. I'll be right back. And I go over there, and within like 4 seconds, I open the drawer and find a whole bag full of Ferio Tego. And I'm like,
of course, where? That's the way it always happens because you're not looking for it.
I'm like, where was this a week ago? Like, I needed this. And like now it's just like it's like sitting here like in the way of the other stuff I'm looking for. And I'm like, ah. So
that does say, though, if we did our due diligence as collectors, though, we would have a list and we would know exactly which humidor, what was in, and how long it's been there. But
I know.
I'm a smoker. I'm not a collector.
My quick tangent, though, and Mitchell's here now, too. I talked to Mitchell about this earlier. I did find something at Costco recently that has just got me very excited because, like Scott said, I'm a fat guy, too. I like to eat.
Fat kid, not fat guy.
Thank you, fat kid. Before we actually got on here, Kevin, before you joined, we were talking about, you know, the trade show being in New Orleans next year. And I said to Scott, I go, I'm going to be honest with you. One of the things I'm most excited about that trade show is just going to eat.
I'm most excited about.
I just want to go eat.
Food, baby.
But I found these things. They're called turtle chips. And they are Korean from what I've been able to gather. And they're not very popular here, at least not yet.
They're made from real turtles?
No, they're kind of like shaped shell-like, but they're churro. They're like, well, I guess they make different flavors, but these ones are churro flavored, and they're very thin, like layered. It's kind of hard to explain, but like these little bite-sized things, and they're like cinnamon chocolate, and they're very like wafery and airy, and they are delicious. And I found these at Costco, and I go, oh, these look good, and I grabbed them. And then the other night I was watching TV, and I said, let me open those. And I remember opening the bag, and I looked at Nicole, and I was like, oh, these are good. And then Nicole was like, you're going to have to hide these from me. And I'm like, I got to go back to Costco and buy two more bags. I mean, this is ridiculous. So that's my Costco find for the week. Anyone who follows the show knows how much I love Costco. It's my secret obsession.
Oh, we love Costco.
Oh, I'm obsessed with Costco. If you've ever seen that movie, The Watch, with Ben Stiller, and he's like the manager of a Costco, and he says in that movie, he's like, we got everything you need under one roof. It's true. If there was ever some shit going down, I'm going to my local Costco, and I'm barricading myself in there. So, because I get everything I need, you know? So,
for a decade.
Yeah, I know. You buy in bulk. It's the only way.
From birth to death, they've got diapers and coffins. You're set.
It's so true. We buy all the diapers there. We buy the wipes there. We buy the formula there. Like, we buy it all there.
Oh, you're stupid not to. With the amount of how much you go through that, yeah.
Especially Kirkland brand. You know, I heard someone talking about, like, Kirkland brand the other day, and it's, like, it's amazing. Like, the Kirkland brand stuff, like, don't be a brand snob. I'm telling you, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't buy the Kirkland brand. You're getting, like, three times as much for a third of the price, and a lot of times it's even better than the name brand. I'm just saying.
Well, because it is a name brand. It just has Kirkland on it.
I know. It's ridiculous. I love Costco. Anyway, I could spend the whole show talking about that, but I don't want to do that to Scott. So that's my tangent for this week.
I appreciate that.
Really quickly, once again, we are cutting and lighting our cigars with none other than SC DuPont products. That's right, featuring the Biggie flat flame lighter. And as always, I have my line two with me from SC DuPont. Shake up the legacy with SC DuPont. There you go. Let him ping.
Let him ping.
But anyway, I'm going to keep that short this week. I want to get to some stuff with Scott, so just a shout-out to those guys and helping us make this show possible. But Scott, trade show. So 2024 trade show, we are just under 2 weeks away, or just above 2 weeks away.
2 weeks and 2 days until we kick off with the Friday seminar, so yeah.
Yeah, so it's approaching very quickly. Now, this year, a couple of highlights that I'm gonna mention kind of leading into this. You know, once again, this is the last year in Vegas for a little while. We'll be moving to New Orleans in 25 and 26. Mm-hmm. This year, we're not at the Sands. The Sands Convention Center, we're all done there. We'll be at Las Vegas Convention Center this year.
Yep.
So still Vegas this year, but different area. Excited to see kind of how that goes. But, you know, the last few years, the trade show has been, I feel, getting better and better. The reception that I've heard from manufacturers and the retailers who've been attending the last couple of years, you know, starting with 21, 22, 23, you know, going into 24, you know, we've talked about this. You know, the IPCPR days, there was a lot of people who had complaints. There was questions, comments, concerns about a lot of different things from different points of views. You know, one of them being, you know, the time of the year. So, you know, we're going to be doing a trade show in March this year, not July, as we've done the last several years. You know, we're... Yeah. So now we're going to the spring, which I know is, which is something I know that, you know, you guys, you know, we're hearing a lot from people like, you know, we don't like July, especially don't like Vegas in July. We don't like, I know there's a lot of retailers saying we don't like leaving our stores in the middle of the summer, which is our busiest time. So again, another major change. We also saw the addition of, Altadas USA and General Cigar come back last year. Now, for this year's show, they'll be back. Plus now Drew Estate has returned. So yep. It just seems like the pattern for the last 3 years at the trade show has really been up and up for the most part. I mean, again, I know it's not perfect. And I'm sure there's still some things that people might, have to critique, but I'm going to say that, you know, you guys got to be feeling pretty good going into the 2024 trade show, with the way that it has gone down the last couple of years.
Yeah, we've been excited in terms of that. Back in 21, I mean, really 21 for us was kind of an opportunity to see what we were made of. We had 92 days once we got approval to turn around and put on a show. We were the first big event back at the Sands Convention Center. And so when we got together in October of that year as a board and really kind of went through it, we really dove in and asked hard questions and had to kind of hold up a mirror and take a look at some things. So a lot of the decisions that have kind of come to fruition really kind of started there as we kind of did this facilitated, really kind of big strategic deep dive and kind of pulled some things apart. And what was interesting is as we were going through all of that, it kind of hit me and I said, look, I said, you know, in most other kind of conventions, what ends up happening is you put together an education or a business meeting, and then you tend to filter it in with like some fun evening activities and some of these other stuff. And I said, it seems to me that our industry, just by just the nature of looking at it, surveys, feedback, and just conversations, ours is the inverse.
Right.
We've got to put on the biggest cigar party of the year because that's when everybody comes together, but also people get business done. And I know that's a primary reason people come. But at the end of the day, you know, again, when you have a product or a service that's out there, people buy it for three different reasons, right? Social, functional, or emotional, right? And the social and emotional is more important for people, I think, in this instance of coming here. The functional component being the business. It's going to get done, you know, at best, you know, face-to-face. So that's the way we've kind of been trying to design this and elevate it to do different things year in and year out to create more of that family reunion. I know that phrase gets used often. I don't want it to become a pejorative here, but really ultimately is to kind of continue to create that feeling of being excited to come. What excites what I like to call it cigar nerds to come out for this. So I think you've seen that and like, okay, let's refocus the education. And thank you to Carlito Fuente and Jose Blanco for helping kick that off in 2022 when they said, hey, let's go back to doing the seminar that we kind of did. And you guys saw the line that went all the way back.
Yeah.
And we're waiting
awesome.
To get in, right?
Yep.
So you know that they really kind of spurred that aspect of it on, and we saw the reaction. So we're like, hey, let's give the people what they really want. And so we continue to do more of the blending seminars for people to kind of get more kind of inside what the cigars are being talked about. And it presents a great opportunity for manufacturers. I'm looking forward to some of the ideas that we're looking at for New Orleans to take it to a whole new level. And if we do it kind of the way I'm envisioning it for next year, just to give a little bit of a teaser here for your guests and listeners and everything, I think it's going to be kind of one of the more exciting aspects of what we do in New Orleans. But, you know, I think that, you know, with this year, right, we've got – and then the last year, the Handrolled guys came to us and said, hey, we've got this Newman thing that we got going on. So people were lined up. We had to bring in more seats. It was standing room only. So we're doing that again this year, where they're going to be showing their new one and a preview of one. I've started to work with them on doing retail stories. I said, look, we're a retail organization. I said, I think projects for us, instead of kind of talking about the manufacturer story, which a lot of folks know, which is still great, which is, you know, fantastic. But we want to tell retail stories around the country and why these retail shops are such important fixtures within communities and what they provide and why people love being able to have these lounges in these cigar stores. And so we did an event down in Tampa with Borshowitz. We had a comedian come in, Bobby Kelly, and do an event there. And then we got some footage. So they're going to, I think, do a, I don't know, like a 3-5 minute sort of preview of what that is. And we're going to continue that project as we go forward to next year as well. But I mean, look, we've got La Aurora doing a pairing, right, with the rum and the cigar. We got Nick Melillo. He's going to come in. He's going to do a Connecticut seed, you know, deep dive and go through and have a cigar there for people to smoke. And, you know, then we've got a Padron keynote. We're going through stuff and you know, and then we're going to, you know, have a couple hundred cigars that Padron is looking to do. And then we've got this phenomenal panel leading off to our opening reception with Ernie and Tim Oskiner and John Huber, right? So, I mean, as me as a consumer, I oftentimes put myself in this place. I'm like, look, I'm a cigar nerd. I want to listen to all of these things. And that's really what this is all built around. And so I think that those that really love this stuff are going to have a phenomenal time. And so really looking forward to that. So I think it's a really long, drawn out answer of how we've kind of really kind of reframed the strategy of the trade show. And, you know, happy hours and games and fun and different elements that we do on the show floor to enhance the experience for folks, it seems to have been well received. And so we're building on that again this year. And last year we had a golf simulator on the show floor. This year we're building it's either a 6 or I think it's a 9-hole putt-putt course. We've got a spirits pavilion with a handful of spirits that are going to be there. And a couple other things too that we got going on. So there's a lot of different elements to the show floor this year to help kind of keep it going on.
Meaning in terms of the spirits, like do you have people from those brands like bringing their salespeople like to the trade show to?
Okay. Yeah, their companies have booths. It's a small start because it's the first time we've ever really done this. Yeah. And so you can imagine like a lot of corporate alcohol companies when they're looking at it, they have a corporate structure, and when they start, you know, determining large corporate relationships with the tobacco industry, it tends to have to go through a little bit. And because the cost of doing it at the Sands was so prohibitive, it was kind of taking a while. So we said, hey, let's start it this year and we can kind of build it up to something a little bit bigger and better in New Orleans. And so we got a handful of great companies. You know, Uncle Nearest is doing something big. They'll be involved in the opening reception as far as some drinks are concerned there. And then we've got, you know, the Jimenez Rum, we've got Florida Caña. So it's going to be a good time there for those, so people can go get 1-ounce samples and things like that. And then we have a whole new program kind of built out. We got rid of the last half day, which a lot of people kind of complained about. So it's 3 full days. So, you know, we're going to cram a lot of business in, but on Sunday, we're also doing this, brand new our inaugural, awards reception. We had a bunch of retailers send in their stores. So we had, you know, good rounds of judging and consumers and everybody else on social voting. So we'll have that award ceremony on Sunday night. People can come and get some cigars and a couple free drinks and then hang out, do the awards. And so so we got a lot of good stuff that's going on.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like it. I mean, one of the biggest things I'll say, it seems to me with this current regime, you guys have really listened to the questions, comments, concerns,
and big time.
And you've really put the effort in to respond to that feedback and not just say, oh, well, thanks for letting us know. You know, you've made an effort to make, and while there's a lot of changes that I think not everyone has loved, I think that almost everyone, regardless, understands like and respects it. Like, you know what? They're trying to do something different. They're trying to better the organization, which at the end of the day is what's most important, because the organization as a whole, you know, always needs improvement and always needs to be doing, you know, better things to help itself, which, you know, again, and I love to bring this up, especially when you're here, Scott, is, you know, the PCA is not a trade show company. It is a government organization that helps, you know, with cigar rights and legislative stuff. The trade show is a byproduct that, you know, helps fund that and helps put that together. But any way you can strengthen the trade show, you know, in turn then strengthens everything else. So it's kind of like a, you know, a domino effect, so to speak. So, you know, the fact that you put so much energy and effort into making that better to help make everything else better, it's just, you know, that's what we want to see, right? So I want to just say, you know, I commend you guys on doing such a great job, you know, year after year being innovative and trying to do different things. And in the last few years, yeah, it's been a pretty exciting trade show.
What you had just mentioned, Matt, that's actually one thing that really was noticeable to me at the opening conference, you know, the opening press conference last year was, you know, you start the conference off with quite a few legislative wins for the industry.
Yeah.
And that gives, you know, the retailers and the manufacturers and everybody in attendance, you know, it gives them firsthand look at what PC actually does and how important and crucial it is for the support of the industry. So, and that just, in my opinion, that created a vibe, like an uptick and a very positive vibe to kick off the trade show. And it kind of carried all the way through.
Oh, good. I'm glad there was at least one person listening when we did that. I know that stuff can be dry as we do that. But yeah, I mean, really ultimately a couple reasons and, you know, one, obviously we want to set the right tone. But number two, we also, you know, want to show to the membership, hey, here's where your dues are going and here's where the proceeds from the trade show are going. Right. And,
100%.
And you know, to your point, look, full transparency. And I mean, most, you can obviously pull the financials down because they're public because we're a nonprofit organization. But at the end of the day, we could put a ton more money into the trade show. You know, we run this as tightly as we possibly can because what we profit off of the trade show goes back into all of these different mechanisms, right? All trying to, you know, the thousands of bills that drop across the communities across the country, we review all of them, right? You know, working with states, like we were talking earlier backstage about, you know, the tax cap in Las Vegas or Nevada. You know, we've got 16 tax caps now throughout the country. And so as we're looking at more, we're making progress in New York. We're looking at other places with cigar bar bills, potentially in Maryland and other places, you know, and tax caps, Virginia, even in my home state, I would love for that to go through for obvious reasons. But, you know, that's kind of the main thrust there is that, like, here's your investment into this organization and really kind of ultimately what that investment is paying out to you. It's, you know, kind of like the State of the Union should be, but we really want members to feel good about that. And to your point, right, is that we do listen and we want to showcase what we've been hearing and what we've been changing and doing and or continuing to do or investing more in based upon the feedback that membership provides. And so it's really that aspect of it is a clarion call to continue the engagement as members because we want it to be a member-driven organization and let the board kind of take that in and with me set the strategy and vision for the future direction. And so we've been doing, I think, a really good job. Nobody bats 1,000, but, you know, our batting average these days is certainly much higher than it has been in the past. And I think that that's due in large part to, you know, a lot of the leadership and the board members being able to take a look at certain things and making some hard decisions, you know, and, you know, look, it seemed like it was a no-brainer to move to the spring, but it's a massive structural change. And, you know, again, we've had to turn this around in 8 months. Right. Manufacturers, I mean, my God, I know all of them. They're not upset because they really like the change. They know like it's needed, but at the same time, you know, they're all pressed and very, very busy because it was a much shorter turnaround for them. So, you know, I think all around it really is just a total group effort in order to make sure that this show is good because it's setting a good precedent for us to be able to be in this time of year when it is ahead of the sales season, when it really ought to be, when it makes the most sense.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there was a group of people, retailers, that were very enthusiastic about the show being in the spring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it made comments like, oh, this is great. This is so much better for me. Like, you know, I think there was like one or two retailers I talked to who hadn't been. And they're like, oh, I'm definitely going to go because, like, you know, it's so much easier to go in March, like blah, blah, blah. So I know that I've heard firsthand that there's people who are happy about it.
Well, I can tell you that we have almost 100 new members that have never been members of the organization in our database that have joined and signed up to come. Yeah.
That's
registrations.
Awesome.
Yeah. Registrations, right. Well, that doesn't even include those that have lapsed. And so for those that had lapsed, I mean, it's like 150 to 160 that have either joined new and, or re-engaged after, you know, 3 to 5 years of not being engaged. And so, you know, it's, I think that is a testament to the March timeframe. And I can, I track registrations and booth sales pretty religiously every single day to look at stuff. And when I'm looking at registrations, we're tracking even farther ahead than where we were at this point in 2016.
Wow.
So we're it's in and my suspicion is that it's going to be an insane 2 weeks of registrations, because I think people are going to have an, oh shit, I got to register, or I'm just going to do it on site, you know. And you know, last year I think we had like 120 that were the last week, and then at the show as well. So I do think that we're probably set up for attendance to eclipse 2016 in terms of accounts.
Yeah, that's going to be nuts. I mean, John, I know just on a personal note, I mean, I have not heard anybody say anything negative about the move to the spring. Everything
I had
I've
one,
heard
I had one, is, I had one email is
100% positive.
Yeah,
yeah, everything well, I've heard is positive.
You had one, so one retailer emailed you about it.
Yeah, he was very upset because that was the time of the year. And I just said, I totally understand where you're coming from, but you know, again, 85% of our membership has had to come for the past 30, 40 years at their busiest time of the year. And manufacturers, quite frankly, this falls in line better with their sales cycles and what they've wanted as well. So that's why we've made the decision. Again, can't please everybody all the time, but that's just kind of the nature of it.
Yeah, I think spring definitely pleases the majority for sure. Cause I gotta figure that summertime is busy time for probably 95% of the industry.
Yeah, a couple, you know, just in conversations with like, yeah, we understand, but oh, did it have to be during spring break? I was like, well, spring break is different everywhere, whereas summer vacation is the same everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're trying to stay away from the Easter holiday, which we were able to do barely, and other things like that. And I mean, the one thing is that, I mean, people oftentimes, I love it because it's very easy to come up with a solution when you don't have to deal with the 999,000 problems that come with the solution. And when we start talking through this, we say, okay, we have to have a smoking facility. It has to be 500,000 square feet or more. And there's really about two or three locations that can do that, where it satisfies everybody's need to be together and to have the event and to do it in such a way that it also financially makes sense for us. And so it's like, there are a lot of potential options, but you know, believe me, we've explored them ad nauseum.
Yeah, I mean, the only downside to it being when it is unfortunately it's also a time when there's a lot of other big industry stuff going on too. So, you know, like all the festivals happen, you know, Pure Sabor, Pro Cigar, yeah, the Habanos Festival, you know, for those who you know who are involved with that. But I know a lot of manufacturers that do open themselves up for factory tours are usually, you know, January, February, some of it March, you know, during the harvesting season. You know, I know the TPE show also takes place around this time, which, you know, it sounds to me, you guys have won that battle, because, you know, Kevin was at TPE last month and there was really nothing going on there. I think most people were saving their stuff for PCA instead, which I think is the
agreed 100%. I mean, you know, the vibe was, yeah, we'll see you in 6 weeks.
Yeah, which I think is the right move. I think the PCA, mm-hmm. and that's not just because Scott is here, but I mean, when you look at the two shows, I mean, in terms of cigars, I mean, the PCA is the better show. I mean, it's, you know, it's only cigars. It's been the show. Makes more sense. I mean, if you're gonna go to both, but you know, you're gonna hold back. Like, yeah, you're gonna hold back for PCA. It makes sense. But you know, with moving it, you know, I'm sure that is going to affect the cigar part of that trade show long term. Because you know, again, Scott, it doesn't sound like the trade show is going to go back to July anytime soon. That this is going to be the long term plan, at least for now, to be, you know, March, April, for the trade show every year.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things to where we knew, especially based upon manufacturer feedback, like it's worse to move it for 1 or 2 years and then go back for us than it is to not move it at all. And you know, we're going to do our due diligence. We're going to continue to monitor how the shows go, but not only that, we're going to monitor buying cycles. We're going to monitor, you know, and get feedback from manufacturers in terms of what's happening on the show floor, how successful it is. ways we might be able to augment that through various other programs, either during the show or later in the year. So there's a lot of things that we're going to continue to do, right? Where, I mean, we're not just going to switch it and just, you know, sit back and be like, and congratulate ourselves for moving the timing of the show. You know, it's still going to be several cycles before we can kind of get this thing right. And you know, Sokka mentioned to me last year when we were going through this, he said, you know, March is great. He's like, but April is actually better for us because of the way that we move through these things. And it's great. We're at the end of March. That's fine. And then we're going to be in April for the next couple of years to kind of truly find where that sweet spot is. At the same time, it's not like we have the entirety of the calendar to pick from in the entirety of the country. We kind of have to go, and we put ourselves in the busiest season for when most people like to hold conventions. Right. And so, so we do have to kind of still work with availability. And so, whereas with the Sands, it was always the same time of year because it was a dead week for them, and that, you know, that's why they wanted us and so on and so forth. We're going to have to, you know, it's going to bounce around a little bit. It's not going to be the, you know, the last weekend or the third weekend of March every single, you know, year from here on out. It's going to change, you know, but we're going to make sure we stay within that March, April timeframe.
Yeah. I mean, I know one of the things you guys talked about was availability of the venues. I know, you know, we're moving to New Orleans for the next couple of years. I know that obviously there was, you know, comments and, you know, stuff made about, you know, Vegas, you know, there were some people wanted to change the scenery. You know, New Orleans, you know, became a topic of discussion, and then, you know, now it's, you know, become the location. You know, is outside of, you know, 25 and 26, I mean, is the move to New Orleans looking to be much longer term? Is it try it out and see? You know, are there plans to go back to Vegas, you know, after those shows? Like, what's kind of like the, I know it's probably still early, but just curious as to what the idea is, you know, looking down the line after the next couple of shows.
Yeah. And when planning shows like this, it's actually not too early. I tend to, you know, with Lisa Cox now, we tend to like to look at least 5 years in the future to start booking. So we're a little bit behind even now, looking at 27, 28, 29, and 30. Which we're working on right now. But right now I can tell you the plan is between both New Orleans and Las Vegas, there are two places that have the space for us that will have a smoke. We got the exemption in New Orleans. The great part about New Orleans is no OTP for people that they have to get their special event license for New Orleans. So we don't have to worry about that next year.
Oh, okay.
And the interesting thing about New Orleans, I'll answer your question first. Yeah, we're looking at kind of a system where it's, you know, 2 or 3 years in one place, 2 or 3 years in another place. That okay. makes it easier for manufacturers. They prefer to be in a location for at least 2 years, if not three, just because it makes it easier for planning sake, for storage sake, and things like that. It makes it a little bit less expensive and more predictable. But with New Orleans, the difference for us as the organization is we're one of their bigger shows. They really like us. They do a lot for us. It's less expensive. It's less expensive for manufacturers too. And so that's the component. I think that the one component that Vegas has for it is that, you know, the majority of folks that attend the trade show, all the data backs it up. For as much as people might complain about Las Vegas, every time we go to a different city, then go back to Las Vegas, attendance spikes to come on, you know, either record or near record levels. So people do love Vegas. But I think that, you know, New Orleans will be a new experience for folks because it's going to be in the springtime. It's not going to be the swamp ass Satan's Lair heat that you get when you go there in July and August. And, you know, all hotels are right there across the street or the Big Hilton. It's just, you know, about a, I don't know, 10, 15 minute walk, depending upon your pace. But in the springtime, that's nice. We've got, you know, we're going to be kind of creating our own little smoking city when we're there, which is why I'm really excited about it, which is why I say, you know, they really do a lot. And there's a lot of places where we'll be able to kind of take a look and create an environment where people are going to be able to have fun, smoke, eat, drink, have a good time, and all be together right near where the show floor is taking, right near the convention and where everything's taking place and near hotels too. And so we're looking at a lot of different ways. I think that what we, and plus the time that we have to plan New Orleans, I'm actually really excited about what some of the stuff that we're planning and looking to pull off. And I think that even if we do half of what we're planning right now, I think people are going to have a phenomenal time. Plus, New Orleans has got a great, you know, city. The culture, the music. I know people I love the charm. People say it's dirty. I think dirty is part of the charm. But, I mean, Matt, you'll get to experience this. The food, in my opinion, in this country is second to none in terms of the local cuisine and everything that you get there. And so we're looking to really kind of capitalize on all of that.
Yeah.
If you're a foodie, that's the place to be for sure. I mean, just wow. That part excites me probably more so than anything is, you know, being able to go down there and experience that. I've been to NOAA once before, you know, in the off season. Yeah. And it was really cool. And it was about the same time frame and it was pleasant down there. You know, it's like you said, like the swamp ass, what is it? Swamp ass gates of hell. Heat.
Yes.
You're not going to have that in April. So it's going to be very pleasant down there.
Yeah. I didn't go to the, I wasn't in the game when the last trade show was in New Orleans. I just remember.
No, because you were still 12 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't legally smoke. So that doesn't count.
But I just remember listening to everyone complain like, oh, New Orleans, like, oh, it was so hot. It was so sticky and it was horrible and everyone hated it. And then wasn't there one in Orlando one year or something?
Yeah. I was just looking at historical attendance rates, and Orlando was the second highest attended trade show in for the last 24 years.
Really?
Really?
Shocked me. But wow. That's account-wise. Badge-wise, it was down. And I think, you know, if I look at that data, the way I'm interpreting it is I think that what ended up happening is a lot of owners came and they turned it into a family vacation and they didn't necessarily get additional badges for people from their stores because they were coming down, they'd hit the show, then they'd head out to go, you know, hit Disney or Universal or whatever else that they were doing. Kind of reading the tea leaves as far as that's concerned. So it had almost as many accounts as the highest one we had from Las Vegas in the early 2000s. I think 2007, I think, or six, Las Vegas, and Orlando was right near there too. Really, really high, but Vegas had high accounts and then high badges. And so when I say accounts, it's like an owner, right? So you got like Shorty, he's one account, but Shorty has five stores, right? So I'm not saying that's five accounts, he's one account, right? So we had the highest amount of accounts, second highest amount of accounts that came to Orlando, which was really surprising to me. But then I think that was kind of what it is. People turned it into a family vacation.
I mean, it makes sense. Why not?
Absolutely. I mean, that's
why
Vegas so successful. Vegas so popular. So there's just so much to do outside the show here. You know, you can stay for an extra few days and have some fun.
Yeah, the challenge for us with Vegas, it's been crazy. So Super Bowl, F1, and Fontainebleau, and a couple of other things that have been happening there, have caused labor shortages and a whole host of other things. You had the new labor agreement that went into place that increased costs. So, like, it's been really challenging this year because we're getting stuff late from the convention center and a bunch of other things that we're trying to work through. And so it's been nuts. And so at every possible opportunity I have, I always, you know, absolutely sing the praises of Lisa Cox here, who runs all the trade show stuff. She is a miracle worker. She is phenomenal and does this. And so for anybody that sees Lisa at the trade show, please go give her a big thank you because she is an absolute rock star at what she does.
Oh, believe me, you know, living here and then the convention centers and the casinos, that's my core customer base and the company that I work for here. So I totally understand, you know, the drain that F1 and Super Bowl and everything else has put on those industries. Mm-hmm. You know, we felt it on our end and you definitely see it on the casino end, the hospitality end, and course through the convention center. So
yeah,
it's nuts.
Yeah, Kevin's been pretty stressed out the last several months, I'm not gonna lie.
It's been a year from hell. It's like from F1 that starts. I mean, we're already working on F1 for, you know, for this year. We're already working on it, you know, and the Super Bowl just ended, and you know, just when that ended, we were on F1 from before. So I mean, it's just it's a never-ending saga, but it's good for the city. 100%.
At least the city's busy, right? I mean, hey, can't complain about that.
Yeah, I have never been busier.
Yeah. Now, Scott, one of the things, you know, we talk about the trade show and, you know, a lot of that stuff, but, you know, I wanted to take a, a break from that for a second to talk about, you know, I talked to on the beginning of the show about, you know, obviously other stuff, right? Legislative stuff. You know, last year I touched on, you know, on the stuff that happened with Judge Mehta, and, you know, we hadn't really talked about, you know, the vacating of you know, that which we found out, what was that, October that came down, actually? I can't remember.
Yeah.
So yeah, we haven't really followed up, but that essentially, that was huge. I would say that was probably the biggest, you know, win I think the industry has seen in a long time. You know,
probably which, ever.
Yeah.
It's the biggest win certainly since the Tobacco Control Act went into place.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's obviously something to celebrate, and to, you know, to be proud of for everyone who was involved. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, you know, that was exciting, you know, that went away. And I know that part of that was the substantial equivalence, which was kind of like this dark cloud that was hanging over a lot of manufacturers because, you know, had that really, you know, gone all the way into effect and become, you know, this iron curtain of, you know, nonsense, you know, it was going to be a problem for a lot of people. And I think that a lot of manufacturers felt this weight come off their back. But I know that the FDA has filed an appeal on that decision. And I wanted to ask you, you know, is there any update on that? And I guess, you know, what it does the PCA, the CRA, and all of the other organizations that, you know, you guys are all kind of, you know, working on, you know, what's the feeling on this? Is this something that, you know, should be worried about? Like, well, you know, maybe things will change. Is this kind of like a formality, but it's really not going to do much? You know, what's kind of the feeling there on that?
You know, when you're dealing with any kind of appeal, you know, you don't ever want to be too too sure on anything because, you know, there's a lot of different ways it can go. Judge Mehta was very, very meticulous in how he approached this from, you know, the regulatory standpoint. And so, you know, the appeal, while not surprising, you know, they filed an extension. It was granted. We filed it. They opposed, or we filed for our own extension, and they opposed it when we didn't oppose theirs. So there's your government for you, right? They want to take advantage of things, but don't want to give you the advantage. So we filed ours, and so we're working through next month on making sure that everything is where we need to go. And so we're in the process of putting all the stuff together that we need to with our attorney in order to file go and meet that appeal. Guardedly optimistic as always. You know, we've already got the win and the vacating of it. So guardedly optimistic that, again, it doesn't seem to be anything really new in the appeal. So we feel, again, cautiously optimistic in our arguments that we'll win the day again because there's really nothing new to argue. It's just, you know, seemingly almost like they want to just shout it louder to a different body to see if they're going to disagree with Mehta's decision, which, again, we strongly feel that on the merits of his decision, based upon on how it was delivered and what was said in it and everything else, that there really isn't much to appeal there. But again, we'll see. I mean, that's really all we can really want to go into there at that point, as far as the industry's perspective. But yeah, we look forward to hopefully having another decision in our favor. Again, want to stress cautiously optimistic.
Were you there when that final ruling came down back in the fall? Were you at the
Oh, it just gets released out. I mean, it's not like you get in the courthouse or anything like that. So we got the text messages and everything.
Okay.
Heard it all and all that stuff. And then it starts going around and everything. And then we instantly get to work and trying to get the counsel and start getting the information that's appropriate for us to then send out to everybody. Because obviously in a legal case, we want to make sure it's vetted with the attorney and everything else and stuff. Because again, anything that gets out there can then be brought into the appeal, which is also why we like to stress caution for folks that would report on it to let us do the process of working with our attorney to get the information out.
Right. Yeah, no, I wasn't sure how it worked, to be honest. I mean, it's not really something I know much about, and but it's very interesting to hear it, you know, at least from you know, my perspective. That's, I didn't know it kind of went down like that. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, by the way, like, you know, you guys are good. Oh, all right. I picture, yeah, like everyone being
day.
In this courtroom
that was a
and
big
being like,
day.
Yeah, yeah, like, no, like a bunch of messages.
Yeah, it
would
be
kind of
nice to get the Hollywood courtroom drama where they gathers us back in and he reads the verdict while we're all there. I mean, the courthouse is only about a 5-minute, 8-minute walk walk away from the office, so it wouldn't be too far to go. But in this instance, the judge writes the opinion and then sends it out, and then once it hits, then everybody, obviously the lawyers and everybody gets the notification and the information.
Right. Well, I wanted to talk about another PCA thing. I'm actually going to incorporate it into our news segment, so I'm going to keep you in for this. Our news is once again brought to you by McAuliffe Cigars, featuring the McAuliffe Black, rated 91 at smokingtobacco.com. McAuliffe Black, it's a blackout. So
I think I know what this is about.
Yeah, no, this story went out earlier this week from the Premium Cigar Association. So, obviously very fitting to have you in this conversation. And I was hoping that maybe you could, maybe break it down a little bit more for everyone at home. The Premium Cigar Association launches Women of PCA Initiative to connect and inspire women working in the premium cigar and pipe industry. The Premium Cigar Association has launched the Women of PCA, a new business resource group led by women and designed to foster the professional and personal development of the association's women members. Now, the last couple of years, within the cigar community, kind of informally, the discussion of, women smoking cigars generally has been, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we've seen more and more women, active in the community and, working for, manufacturers, retailers, just in all aspects of it. It's becoming more of a thing. And I think that the general consensus has been very positive on that because, it's kind of refreshing to see a group of people that was kind of historically never really, I don't want to say like unaccepted, but just kind of not really a central figure, right? Not really a thing. Quote unquote, cigars were kind of like this old man's thing for a long period of time. And it's changed in the last 10, 15 years. There's younger demographics, there's more women, there's a lot of things that have changed. Now, to see, groups like this, and I know like this, the Sisterhood of the Leaf group, which is, a very pro women's, cigar, group that I know a lot of people have probably seen that's been around. Now the PCA has taken an initiative, to help, women be more included. My wife, Nicole, as you guys both know very well, obviously she's a cigar smoker as well. Kevin's wife, Barbara, she smokes cigars. There's a lot of great women that we know, both personally and professionally. I know Nicole was very interested in this, and I know she plans on attending. I know there's going to be some stuff going on with this at the trade show. I know she was very interested in going over there for that. But kind of, I was curious, when did this come about, and kind of how long has the PCA been working on this?
Yeah, so, great initiative. And this really started a couple years ago. And organically, some of these things tend to do, in where basically what ended up happening is a new board member at the time, Kathleen Kelly, from Queensberry Cigars and Pipe up in New York. So she was there starting to have a conversation with all people with one of the photographers that was working our event. And so she was asking Kathleen questions and, just about the industry, because it was her first time, at the event. She was the assistant to the photographer that we used. And so it was just kind of this interesting organic conversation that then started to blossom and brought in a couple more women and a couple more women. And so that kind of started there. And so Noe wanted to do something and everything else. And so Kathleen and a couple other board members and some other, women started to kind of put some ideas together. We held an event, a little bit of like just a roundtable event here in DC for it. And then when Teresa Westling from Georgetown Tobacco came on the board, then the conversations kind of started up and so basically, just said, look, what they came and said, hey, we would like to do this. We said, what do you need? What's the thought process here? How can we support you? And really, it was kind of Kathleen and Teresa, this their brainchild of developing this business resource group, as we mentioned in the press release, right? And really, ultimately, what it's about is it's creating more pathways for more people to feel, how do I put this, to feel like there's pathways for them to be able to engage in a way that's not necessarily, because you said it before, right? It can be a little clicky. It can be intimidating. Is there a place for me here in this industry? We want to make sure that everybody has a pathway to participate in this industry, because I hope everybody agrees that this is just the best industry to be in, right?
Right.
We want it to, we want to share our passion with everybody. We want more people to be a part of the beauty and the intricacies of what this industry offers to everybody. And and it can be intimidating, right? It can be very intimidating. And I talked about this when Teresa and Kathleen and I were talking. I said, you know, when I first got into rock climbing years and years and years ago, there was a whole group that just kind of wanted to keep it for themselves. And so when you'd go to learn and you'd go on the wall and everything else, right, they, not that they were, in, you know, assholes, but they just were not very welcoming. But there was a whole other group that was all set up, designed specifically to welcome new people in, right? They had women climbing groups. They had kid climbing groups. You know, they had newcomer climbing groups and everything else and stuff too. And that's ultimately really, you know, not only that, but also as a business resource group. This goes right back to the mission of PCA of growing specialty tobacco retailing. And so by being able to have, you know, resources and means set up for those that want to get in and ask specific questions, you know, challenges, even developing potentially, you know, mentor type relationships, and just being in a place where they can feel comfortable to be able to get the answers and the feedback and what they need with people who have gone through things similar, people that they connect with better and everything else, it just seemed like it was a no-brainer, that it was another opportunity for PCA to offer a resource. And Kathleen and Teresa and, you know, Mary Zarmack, who's on our executive committee, and Angela Liu, and Jessica Hudson are all spearheading this and doing a wonderful job. And I just said, hey, just tell us what you need from us. And, you know, we're good to go. So on Monday, you know, McAuliffe is, you know, be sponsoring this. Amanda McAuliffe is obviously a very big supporter for this. And she's obviously a great woman, in PCA and with manufacturing partners that we have there. So Monday, from 4 to 5 in the PCA lounge, it's a networking and happy hour event. Bovada, it's their happy hour that they wanted to be behind this as well. And then also Smoker Friendly and Mary Zarmack and their company are behind it too. I believe that Les from ST DuPont, they're also, I think, sponsoring and supporting this as well for the event. So we're really looking forward to kicking this off and I think this will kind of be an initiation for business resource groups within PCA.
Yeah, I remember seeing this and I was like, oh, this is interesting. Because, you know, this is like probably like the third time now I've seen like a pretty big, you know, organized, you know, initiative or a group or whatever, you know, kind of thing, you know, involving, you know, women, you know, mostly and centrally. Mm-hmm. And it's like I said, Kevin and I are both, you know, our wives are both, you know, cigar smokers as well. So, you know, it's nice to see that too, because, you know, we have women with us that do want to be part of the community, and you know, it's and they are and they're great at it, and they certainly have a lot of fun, but it's nice to see that, you know, that continues to go that way for them too.
Yeah, it's critical they get the recognition they deserve, for sure.
Yeah.
And not only that, I think that one of the reasons why I think this is so is essential too is that whereas, you know, like the Sisters of the Leaf, for example, it's creating a community for really, you know, smokers and everybody. And this is specifically designed to be a means to help those that are in the industry network in some of the unique ways that oftentimes that they would want. Because, I mean, it's easy enough for me to walk into a networking event in a cigar environment, because I'm predominantly, most of them are going to, you know, look like me and have, you know, all that component that's involved with it. You know, it's easy enough. We're comfortable around and just talking as men. And sometimes that can be obviously intimidating, especially when you're a group of people who have been doing it a long time. And so that can present some challenges and some of the other things. But as this group is there, that's really set up to help be a mechanism and an avenue for women who want to either get started in this business, want to grow in this business, and want to do more in the business. And so for anybody who, if you're a broker, if you're a manufacturer, if you're a sales rep, if you're a manager at a shop, if you own a shop, this is what it's set up for, is for that, you know, this type of group and environment to fostering sort of that business networking and enhancement experience for women.
Yeah, no, I like that. And it's, thank you for like kind of like separating those two. You know, it makes a lot of sense, just when you're talking about how, you know, this is really more towards, you know, industry, you know, personnel and people, you know, mostly. And no, it's true. And, you know, we see a lot more reps and like I said, shop owners or shop employees or just, you know, people who are involved with shops that, you know, that help with the business and stuff like that. There really is. There's every day. There's more and more women, and I know a lot of them, and they're great people. I mean, I could name off so many, that I love very much because they're awesome mm-hmm. people I work with manufacturers and stuff, we know, with what we do every day. And you mentioned Amanda McAuliffe, you know, another one. I know she's been very, very active in this. And I know that, you know, McAuliffe, you know, they celebrate International Women's Day every year, and, you know, with their Magdalia Special Edition, which is coming up. I know that that's happening. I think that's this week or maybe next week. You know, again, so they, you know, as a company, they've done a lot of stuff like that. So no, it's really nice to see. And I figured, you know, hey, you're coming on the show tonight. This is great. We'll have, you know, bring it up and have you kind of speak on it too. So, and I remember, you know, Nicole Sart texted me, was like, oh, hey, did you see, you know, about the PCA? And I said, no. And then I looked at it and I said, oh, interesting. And she was like, yeah, like, I'm going to go to that, like, on Monday and this and that. So, like, it got Nicole excited too, which I thought was, you know, good. Which was really nice when she got awesome. The email. So, awesome. On behalf of Nicole, thank you.
Barbara as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Looking forward to it. Last year we had a great turnout, and I think this year's turnout's going to be probably double or triple the size that we had last year. I anticipate that the PCA lounge will probably be chock full of women. All there, and that's what we want. This is the bread and butter of this trade show, is being able to bring people together like this, right? You shared experiences, shared stories, learning from each other. That's, you know, it's money you're leaving on the table if you don't take advantage of that, you know, at this type of thing, because there's no other place where you're going to get the entirety of the industry together and truly be able just to listen and learn. And it's funny, because I've talked about this, that when we've gotten like boards together or we have events here and we get retails, they just start talking and they just start sharing stuff. And I've loved to listen to stories about, like, you know, oh, this guy pulled a knife on us on our event. We did this, or we did this, or we did this event. And they share funny stories. But at the end of the day, I was like, those are microcosms of what we want to be able to create at the trade show for people, because it ultimately, when you can come together and learn from each other, that's how the industry continues to progress and progress and progress and progress. And we don't want to be siloed. We're too small of an industry as it is. So we want to break down the silos as much as possible. And so that's, I think, an important component for this, is being able, again, this isn't so much of a, because I mean, look, at the end of the day, and we talked with Kathleen and Teresa about this, is that, you know, if we develop resources for women at PCA getting into the business, it's pretty much going to likely be the same for everybody, right? If I'm getting mentorship in terms of how to run a shop, whether I'm a man or a woman, it's irrelevant. It's going to be the same, right? A lot of it transcends sort of that aspect. However, when you're looking at being able to break down the silos, if you're providing ways in which people can participate more, that's the way that we want to break down some of those silos. And so have more shared experiences and more in providing areas where people feel more comfortable to engage and provide that resource group for them. And that's ultimately what the thrust of this is. And, you know, Kathleen and Teresa will be able to speak, I think, a lot more powerfully and eloquently than I can. But that's, you know, again, all of it designed in terms of helping women in this industry succeed.
Absolutely. You know, and we fully support that as well here at Smoke and Tobacco. So, no, really, really, really something special that the PCA is doing, and nothing but the applause and celebration for it. You know, you guys are doing great stuff. It's like we talked about before the show, like the last couple of years. I mean, like, you know, and I know Coops made this comment too, just, you know, like that this current like regime or leadership or whatever. You know, the last several years, you guys have done so many, you know, different things and try new concepts, whether it's with the trade show specifically or it's, you know, PCA as a whole or, you know, whatever it is. You know, there's been a lot of things that, you know, you guys have really put some effort into, and this is another one of those things. And, you know, I just have to say, I think you guys are doing a great job. Now, could that change tomorrow? Yeah, and we'll let you know. you know, jokes aside, no, I mean, you guys have been doing a great job, and this is another great thing. And, excited to see it. So thank you for sharing that with us, Scott. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And just, you know, kind of on that note, so I don't forget, for anybody that is a member of the organization, whether you're manufacturer, broker, industry partner, whatever, and obviously the retailer, the first morning of the show, just so everyone's aware, there is no early entry. That kind of created a little bit of chaos a little bit and other things. And so everyone, show floor opens at 10 o'clock in the morning. Everybody gets on at the same time. But with that, we have our morning education sessions. I strongly, strongly encourage everybody to go to both of them on Saturday and Sunday. But Saturday we're doing our association benefits, one, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit because we're going to be discussing that. We've got a webinar. We've put some information out, but we have an association health plan that we're working on building. And what that means is that as a member of the organization, you'd have the ability to get into a big health plan. And the more people that participate, the better options, the better plans we can get, the more we can reduce costs. So this is a way to get, you know, benefits and health insurance benefits for you and for your employees at reduced costs, and obviously help with, you know, recruiting and retaining great employees. The other part to that, too, is that we'll also be discussing an association 401k plan for you and your employees as well. And then also a recruiting and retention and tools for hiring and things like that, too, for job postings and stuff that we'll have. So that's going to be an incredibly important one. So, you know, any manufacturer that's out there, if you're looking for new healthcare or you're looking to add healthcare as a benefit for your folks or retirement, this is appropriate for you as well. Any member organization is eligible for this. So I would highly encourage on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to be there because it's going to be a really good kind of deep dive into what we're offering.
Well, that's huge and a true game changer for the industry for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you guys are really calling out all the stops right now, Scott.
There's a lot of excitement leading into 2024 show. That's for sure.
Yeah, there is.
And I'll be showing a little preview of the new online almanac that we've built. It's really cool. It kind of functions as a B2B kind of the way I'll put it is a little bit more like a, so it's all live and everything. It's online. So, you know, we printed the almanac for years and obviously as soon as you print it, a lot of the information is old. And so now it's real time, it's interactive, and there's a lot of different things you can do with it. But I like to describe it as a little bit of a B2B social media type of platform. And so it works really cool in that way where you can follow companies and do different things. Companies can put releases and information and news and things like that out, but product information. And then there's other things that you can do within that. And so we anticipate trying to build this community out through this platform in future years. So we'll get a preview of that as well. And we'll likely be able to show a preview of the new PCA website that we'll be turning on either right at the show or right after the show.
Oh, wow. Look at that. New website too.
Yeah.
That's yeah. And then did I see, so there's also going to be a PCA app specifically for the trade show.
Yeah.
On the App Store too. You know,
you can get it now.
Yeah, I mean you guys are really pulling out the stops on the digital front too. Wow. I'm surprised you got that approved on the App Store. They're so like anti-tobacco on there.
Yeah, I was very, very, very careful in how I did that. You know, I went through it. I was not my first rodeo when it comes to the apps. And so all the descriptions, it was all about the show and PCA. There was no mention of tobacco anywhere in any of the App Store stuff that they have to approve.
Come to the PCA trade show where you can do business with other companies of your industry. Oh,
either
show floor plan,
find exhibitors, yes, all of that stuff. It was all all true, and
it's all about what you don't say.
Correct.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people forget that. That's a life lesson right there. Yeah. It's what you don't say.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, look, I'm watching the time. You know, we're almost out of time, Scott, and you know these shows go so fast, so it's hard to cram so much in. You know. But first of all, I want to thank you once again for being here. I mean, you're always so gracious with your time. I know that a lot of times you're coming in, you know, fresh off of an event or a meeting or something like that. I know that, you know, you're a very busy guy. So thank you again for your time. And just excited to see you in a couple weeks at the trade show. It's happening again already. It's crazy that turnaround time from, you know, July to it doesn't even feel like it's been as long as it has. It feels like it's been like 4 months. It's just like we're already going back to another trade show.
Tell me about it. hopefully it feels like, you know, 18 months from March of 24 to April of 25.
Oh, man. It's going to feel like a lifetime. It's like, damn, when's the last time we did a trade show?
Yeah, yeah. So my birthday is the week after the trade show. So I'm taking a little bit of an extended vacation after the trade show. And taking some time hitting the Grand Canyon and doing some other things, so it'll be nice.
Good for you.
There you go.
Good for you. Yeah, you gotta enjoy the time while you can, you know.
Yeah.
It's not always promised tomorow.
Yeah. Which is funny because as soon as I get back, I turn right back around and go out to Chicago for the pipe show. right after I get back.
Yeah, see, you're a busy guy. Always on the move. You know, guys, thank you for being here and watching the show tonight with us. Don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere you can find your podcast on all the podcast apps and platforms. And as always, head to smokeandtobacco.com for more news, reviews, and updates from the cigar industry and our upcoming 2024 PCA trade show coverage brought to you by Drew Estate. Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to be on here with you tonight. Unfortunately, we are out of time. That's going to be our show for this week. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for spending your time with us at Smoke and Tobacco. Please remember to like and subscribe for more episodes and content. And as always, visit smokeandtobacco.com for news and updates from the cigar industry.